the two greatest things that a priest can possibly do in his life. Number one, to confect the Eucharist. There is nothing more wondrous or beautiful or important in the life of the priest and in the life of the church than to bring Christ physically present to the people of God. But second only to that is reconciliation, reconciling the people of God, bringing forgiveness to each person's soul. Now, to understand the sacrament of reconciliation, what used to be called confession, we have to go all the way back to Adam and Eve. It says in Scripture that Adam and Eve walked and talked in the Garden of Paradise, and we have to really begin to understand exactly what is meant by those words. God didn't have any legs, so who was walking and talking? Adam and Eve were walking and talking. So where was God? God was inside of them. And when they sinned, they did something that was totally unexpected. They told God to leave, to get out. They replaced the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with the egotistical Trinity, me, myself, and I. And that left them alone. So the Garden of Paradise was actually inside of Adam and Eve. And God promises to make up for this sin, to undo these damages that were done. And so he promises to send a Messiah. He promises that someone would come and bring what they had before the fall back to them. And that is the indwelling of the Trinity. Now, we know that this great travesty, this great evil was brought upon us through sin. And God loves us so much. In fact, he loves us into existence, each and every one of us. He creates us, but he loves into us a soul that is in his image and likeness. And because that image and likeness was taken away through sin, he comes to restore us to that likeness through forgiveness. Christ Jesus was born in a stable of Bethlehem. Bethlehem meaning house of bread. He's laid in a manger, which is a place for food. At the height of his career, he promised one thing and everybody left. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you are dead." And so he promises to return to that indwelling, to come back inside of us, to dwell and live. But in order to receive that great gift, we have to be ready. And so what does he do? He knows that we are sinners, that we sin all the time. And anyone who thinks that they do not sin makes God a liar. And that means that we need his forgiveness first. Of all the things that we can ask from God, there's only one thing that we truly need desperately, and that is forgiveness. Christ Jesus came and died for our sins. He died so that he could forgive those sins. But one of the prerequisites of being forgiven is the recognition of our necessity, of our need, that need to be forgiven. So what does he do? After the resurrection, he comes to his disciples and he breathes upon them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive will be forgiven them." Now, Jesus could have stopped there and then you could have the choice. You could either go directly to God or you could go to a priest. But the problem is Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't stop at that point. He went on and this is what he said. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you do not forgive will not be forgiven." Now, there are many who say, "Well, I go directly to God." But you see, that's a problem. Because when we are in sin, we have no connection to God. We have no link with God. Take, for example, if you have a cell phone. Every one of us has one. And it's going off all the time, and it's ringing from morning till night. And one day, you just get so angry that you just throw the thing across the room, and it smashes into 1,000 pieces. But you need the phone. Your anger destroyed that connection. So what do you need? You got to go outside of yourself to some place and get another one. When we sin, we destroy that connection that we have received through baptism, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Divine Trinity, we break that connection. Jesus comes to restore that connection. And so he sets up a sacrament where we can go to receive that forgiveness. Now, let's face it, just looking at it humanly speaking, people say, well, why would the church do this? Why would the church want us to sit in a confessional for hours on end and listen to all the problems of the world and not get paid for it? Why? If it wasn't God's choice, God's will that we sit there, that we wait for people to come and administer that gift of forgiveness, we wouldn't do it. What is the first thing that every religion that separated from the Catholic Church did? They got rid of the sacrament of reconciliation. And once you get rid of the sacrament of confession, of course it makes sense that you don't want the Eucharist. Because you could never be worthy to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the living, breathing Jesus Christ. Without confession, we couldn't hope to be worthy to receive his living presence. And so we go to confession. The Pope, John Paul II, I'd see him oftentimes dropping to his knees and going to confession. Not to a cardinal, not to a bishop, but to some priest that just happened by. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, blessed Mother Teresa, would go all the time. What have these people done? I never saw Mother Teresa have a cross word to anybody. I never saw Pope John Paul II be anything but Christ to the world. So why do you think that they went to confession? Were they committing one sin after another? So many people I hear tell me, well, Father, I don't sin. So I usually tell them, hey, listen, that's your first sin you can confess. You just lied to a priest. Why do we go to confession? We go to confession because we need to place ourselves before God, before Christ. The world wants us to place ourselves in front of everybody else and then determine whether we're good or bad. Well, if you do that, you can hang around with some pretty lousy people, and what happens? You become just like them. With Christ, on the other hand, we go to meet him in that sacrament because that's exactly what it is. It is the encounter with Jesus Christ himself. And in meeting him, we see ourselves as we really are. We place ourselves up against his love, his compassion, his mercy, his goodness, his purity, his love. And then we really see who we really are and what we really are. It is only then, in the light of Christ, that we can see our flaws. Take any painting. Take any painting you want. Turn the lights real dim. That's why they put dimmer switches in art galleries. Turn the lights dim and anything looks good. Turn the lights up and you begin to see the flaws. You begin to see where the artist missed the canvas and the canvas comes through. The brighter the light, the more flaws we see. And that's exactly what confession does. Brings to the forefront the light of Christ. And in that light, we see ourselves as we really are. And we have the opportunity then to change our lives. That's why we should go to confession often. What in heaven's name are people thinking when they say, oh, well, once a year is enough? Since when is that enough? Since when did that change? Vatican Council never said we shouldn't go to confession. We need to confess our sins often. We need to go often to confession. We priests are the first ones that need to go to confession. And if we receive, as priests, this great sacrament, then we realize how precious it is in the eyes of the faithful. And I have to tell you, especially with regard to this sacrament, if ever anyone has ever been hurt by a priest, if they've ever been treated with the least respect, if they've ever been yelled at or offended, I beg your forgiveness. Because that isn't what a priest should do in the sacrament of reconciliation. Confession is a sacrament of merciful love. It is forgiveness of sins. It is understanding oneself in the presence of the divine mercy. It is making a change in our lives for the better. It's making a loving decision to live his life among the people of this earth. Confession is the greatest of sacraments outside of the Eucharist itself. For in both we encounter Jesus. We encounter the forgiving Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation. But what about people who perhaps don't commit grave sins? Well, there are two ways of receiving the sacrament of confession. One is a restoration to grace. That is when we've fallen into some grievous sin and we need to return to the grace of God. And so we go to confession. We place our sins there before our beloved Lord, who perfects our contrition. Well, a lot of us are sorry for our sins, but how really sorry can we be? The reason we sin is because we're enjoying something. We don't sin because we're miserable. We don't sin because we want to be bad. We see something as good, we go for it. And what happens? We realize, wait a second, this is contrary to the law of God. And so we go to confession because it is Christ himself who perfects our sorrow. We place our sorrow, limited as it is, imperfect as it is, and Christ takes it up into himself. And our confession becomes perfect. We are forgiven every sin. Think of it. You go to many different religions, and the first thing they'll say is, I've been born again. Well, you know something? In the Roman Catholic Church, every time we go to this sacrament, we are reborn. Why? Because we return to our baptismal innocence. If we confess every single sin that we remember, even the sins we forgot are forgiven, why wouldn't we want to go? Why wouldn't we want to receive this great gift for free? Why not encounter Jesus now in his merciful presence? Because I have to tell you something. One great truth among all the truths that we know, and the truth that is universally held, is that you and I are going to die. Some sooner, some later. When we pass from this world, we will meet the judging God. Then our souls will be fixed, either in their movement toward heaven or in their movement toward hell. Both heaven and hell are choices. We make hell on this earth or we make heaven on this earth. We either choose to live the life of Christ or we choose not to. That is our choice. It is my choice. It is your choice. No one can make that choice for us. Just like we choose to be happy or we choose to be miserable, no one can make us one nor the other. When we get up in the morning, we either choose to be happy or we choose hell. We can either make heaven dwell among us and among our brothers and sisters, our friends and enemies, oh, we can make heaven live. Heaven is already here. It begins here. We either begin heaven or we begin hell. It's a choice that we have to make every day. And the sacrament of reconciliation helps us to know the right path, to recognize when we fail, so that we never fall into the presumption that we're saints already. That's one of the reasons why the church never canonizes anybody until they've been dead for a pretty long time. Because of pride. Because of presumption. We must never presume to be holier than we really are. And our holiness is simply determined on how much we love. After Peter had denied Jesus and swore, and Jesus saw him, heard him, looked at him, he goes to his death. And one of the first things he says to Peter, not did you deny me, did you betray me, did you swear that you did not know me? No. He just asked one thing only. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? The sacrament of reconciliation is all about love. That's all. It's not about judgmentalism or judging someone. It's not the priest telling you off. It's about encountering love and living love, having the courage and the guts to love God the way He wants to be loved. Not the way I want to love Him, but the way He wants me to love Him. And that is through His presence in the sacraments. That is through the sacrament of reconciliation, through His real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. It is through the very signs of love that He gives to each and every one of us. That's why we need this sacrament. The sacrament of reconciliation is not a choice that we can easily dismiss. It is a necessary element in the progression of the soul toward heaven. And we have to begin it now. Don't wait. Why? We don't have tomorrow. We don't. We have now. Go to a priest. You know, the reason why a priest wears a collar is so that the world will know that he has the power to forgive sins. That's the reason he wears his collar. So that anyone at any time can be forgiven. To reconcile the people of God is one of the greatest privileges I, as a priest, could ever have hoped to obtain in my life. No matter what I could do, no matter what vocation I could possibly have, there is nothing greater outside of the Eucharist itself, outside of celebrating the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, but to distribute the graces won through the redemption to each and every person I meet. Go to confession. Don't wait. For tomorrow we have not. Today is all we've got. Seize it, for it passes quickly.